This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Bruce Walker. You're chair of the Canadian Vintners Association. You also work for Vincor as their government and industrial relations man. Sounds like a long title.
Well, it's a long title and a very challenging occupation.
So does that mean you do a lot of the sort of relationships with Canadian government?
Yes, I represent Vincor, which is affiliated with Constellation, a subsidiary of Constellation Wines Worldwide. But I represent in Canada Vincor's interests and the industry of the Canadian wine industry right across Canada and internationally.
Do you want to give us an overview of the situation in Canada's wine-producing regions?
Well, there are two major wine-producing regions in Canada, one around the Niagara region, Niagara Falls and so forth, which is very temperate. The temperatures are maintained by the lake effect, the
Lake
Ontario and the Niagara region, which makes the moderate temperatures for both table wines and for ice wines.
Mm.
British Columbia is the other major producing area. There are about 10,000 acres of vineyards in British Columbia and about 25,000 acres in Niagara. So in total, about 40,000 acres.
Niagara is just above New York?
Yes, just above New York.
And British Columbia is?
Just above Washington, Seattle. There's a valley called the Okanagan Valley that runs through both Canada and the U.S. North-south. So it comes out of Washington right up into Canada.
Okay, and that's where the grapes are grown?
That's where the grapes are grown, and again, a lake effect. The Lake Okanagan is a tremendous asset in the maintaining of temperatures for wine.
Do you know what latitude this wine region is on?
They're about 44, 45 degrees latitude. It's on the same latitude as Burgundy and Bordeaux, France. So that gives you an indication of the temperatures.
Well, I always think of Canada being a lot colder than Burgundy or Bordeaux.
Well, most of the grapes are grown very close to the U.S. border, so we're not up into the north of Canada where, you know, you do get very cold temperatures in the winter. But the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia is desert, so we get temperatures, up to 40 degrees centigrade. So we can get 35 to 40 degrees centigrade. Lots of heat units. Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot all do very well in British Columbia and in Ontario.
The wine I'm most familiar with is ice wine from Canada. Vincor actually own Inniskillen.
That's correct.
Inniskillen is one of my favorite wines. I got into the wine trade after having a glass of your ice wine in your lovely vineyard there.
Well, that's good to hear. I can understand that conversion. It's a religious experience. ice wine, of course, Canada is well known for, and Inniskillen ice wine is the most well-recognized and well-known ice wine for Canada for around the world. Mm. It's available in most duty-free stores and high-end restaurants and specialty retailers. Ice wine is produced from grapes frozen naturally on the vine. In the vineyard, that is by law. We have an appellation control system in Canada. So all ice wine, if it's labeled ice wine, will have a VQA appellation control on the label. So the letters VQA represent our appellation system. And it assures the consumer that the liquid in the bottle is, in fact, Canadian ice wine.
It has to be like minus 8 degrees for a period of time. What's
That's right. It must be minus 8 centigrade for up to 48 hours before we can pick the grapes. And they're all hand-picked and pressed in the vineyard. So they remain solid and frozen. And, of course, the pressing removes the ice crystals. And you end up with this, what we call liquid gold. You get a drop of liquid from a bunch of frozen grapes. So that's why it's so expensive. It retails in the $100 US for us a half bottle, a 375 ml bottle.
How much water do you lose compared to the concentration of must?
You lose up to 90%, 85 to 90% of the water is lost. The grapes are virtually desiccated. We press them as soon as we can. The earlier, sometimes if we can get the press in December, which is the early winter for Canada, we'll get a better quality grape and more yield from the grapes.
up till recently, we're going to talk about some of the Canadian regulatory issues later on, but up till recently, Canadian ice wine was banned in Europe.
Yes, a very good point. It certainly was difficult for our producers to get access to the European markets. But in the year 2003, we signed an agreement, a Canada-EU wine and spirit agreement between the governments, in which Canada agreed to phase out the use of appellation terms and such as Burgundy and Bordeaux and Champagne. These are semi-generic in Canada. They've been used for years to describe wine taste and flavor. We agreed to phase those out over time, and basically Europe gave us unfettered access to the European Union markets.
What was stopping it before that? I'd heard stories the Germans didn't like your ice wine, too much competition.
Actually, we got along very well with both the Austrian and German wine industries. In fact, we have an agreement between Canada, Germany, and Austria, which was signed in, I think, 1997, 1998, where we recognized each other's process for making ice wine. So we don't consider ourselves competitors so much as we consider ourselves in the same business of producing what is considered to be a very special wine style. But I think the resistance at that point was basically Europe needed a bargaining position to force Canada to agree to stop using those terms which were intellectual property or considered,
brands
and regions as opposed to, you know, wine names.
Okay. Now I've heard that, you know, some Canadian producers are actually helping the Chinese produce ice wine.
Well, with our expertise, there have been some partnerships between Canadian ice wine winemakers and producers in China.
Yep.
So partnerships are happening. Again, China will be a major force in the wine business over time, I believe. So sooner or later, they will produce. As long as they produce ice wine or any wine according to standard methods and agreed methods, then I think we can accept them as competitors.
I was down, I'm actually recording this in Barcelona at the moment, and I was down in Pendes with a cava producer who makes ice wine but freezes the grapes in a fridge and then makes the ice wine. So that wouldn't be considered ice wine from
it's
your point of view?
Not ice wine, and it does not taste and or
it's
you
not
don't
as good
get
as,
the same experience.
It's
of,
certainly not as
of
good
of
as
you
in the skill and stuff.
There is a difference between freezing it artificially and freezing the grapes frozen on the vine.
Well, is it because the grapes are still attached to the plant? Looking at it from my point of view, there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference. But obviously, when you taste, you know, Enniskillen ice wine or some of the other ice wines I've had, it was significantly better than this.
Well, I think all I can say, I'm not a winemaker by profession, but certainly the grapes, when they are removed from the vine, carry much more of the essence and the quality of the fruit than they do after they've been removed from the vine and spend time, you know, freezing in a refrigeration unit. There is a significant loss in texture and a significant loss in flavor complexity.
One of the big grape varieties used for ice wine and grown in Canada is Vidal, which is a bit of a strange one because it's a hybrid grape variety, isn't it? It's not pure Vitis vinifera, which is where a lot of the more classical grape varieties come from. Have you had any problems? Because I know Europe's got some funny rules about quality being only, you know, wines of appellations can only be Vitis viniferous and all that sort of stuff. Was that much of an issue?
Well, first of all, Europe respects our enological practices. We have a bilateral agreement where we have a mutual respect for each other's enological practices, in which this particular grape, Vidal, which is our primary ice wine grape, due to its thicker skin, so it can stay whole, doesn't break during freezing, but it also gives a much more complex taste profile, multi flavors of apricots and mangoes and such. So you end up with a very complex variety just from this, what is essentially, as you said, a hybrid grape. Now, we do also make ice wine from Riesling grapes, which is the classic Vitis vinifera from Germany and Austria, where all of their ice wine is made from Riesling. And we also now make a small amount of ice wine from Cabernet Franc. It's a slight reddish tinge to the liquid, and it's a beautiful complex taste. So Cabernet Franc about maybe 5%, Riesling about 15% of production, and the other 80% would be from Vidal. But not unlike we almost equate ourselves to Cognac, if I may, which is made from Uni Blanc, which is not considered a classic grape variety in France, and yet it makes the best Cognac. Uni Blanc.
Yeah, I know Uni Blanc. Is it a hybrid?
Well, I can't say that for certain. I'm not sure.
I know it's a high yielding, low quality wine.
It's a high yielding, low quality. I'm just not sure of its pedigree.
Yeah. What sort of future do you think there is for the Canadian wine industry?
Well, of course, you'd expect me to say, and I will, that we see the future as very bright. We are. First of all, the cost of land in Canada now for vineyard, good vineyard land, is in the $100,000 an acre area. So $100,000 is what is now the selling price for good vineyard land.
That's Canadian dollars?
It's in Canadian dollars.
So that'd be like, what, three American dollars?
No, actually, we're equivalent now. U.S. and Canada currency is identical, is at par. So it's the same as American dollars. Now, that would be in British Columbia, where there's less land available, and you really have to look hard and virtually buy property that's already developed in vineyard. In Niagara, the price would be more in the $50,000 to $60,000 because there's more of the land still available. Having said that, I'm not answering your question. The future is even brighter given that I'm at this conference on climate change and the impact of climate change on wine and the wine industry. And Canada stands in a very good position over the next 25, 50, 100 years to have temperatures rising steadily, and this will increase our ability to grow grapes further north than we are today.
Okay, because one of the key aspects is the ability to move with the climate.
Right.
So you're not worried that you'll still always be able to make ice wine, but maybe not in the current regions or...
Well, that's the negative aspect, I suppose. There's a possibility that there'll be, as temperatures rise, we won't get as frequent freezing temperatures. But at this point in time, it doesn't look like that's in any real danger in the foreseeable future, that we will continue to be able to harvest ice wine.
One of the issues that was coming up in the conference was that countries who have got, for example, Chile, you don't really think of the sub-regions within Chile. So as climate change forces them to move south to the cooler areas, they're not really going to experience any problems with their marketing. Whereas if you're in a place like Bordeaux, where your whole industry is about terroir-based, you're going to have problems moving. Do you see yourself staying clear of maybe marketing Niagara or maybe making it more of a generic Canadian ice wine or something like that to avoid some of those problems?
Actually, no. We're very much terroir-oriented, and sub-appellations is becoming more and more important to Canada. So, for instance, Niagara has three major sub-appellations, and then within that, we've just divided that again into 10 sub-appellations, and the same in British Columbia. So, again, wine and terroir are so closely connected, whether it's ice wine or table wine, and we believe that's very important to the future as well. So in terms of where the grapes will be grown, those appellations will be driven by terroir. And so where the terroir is, that's where we'll grow the grapes.
All right, Bruce, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.